So without further ado, Principal Todd West.
Well, thank you, everyone. I really appreciate folks coming to this session. I know it's the last session of the forum. I know that there's been a lot of activity, both during the day and otherwise down here the last couple of days, and I can understand that at 2:45 in the afternoon, you guys are a dedicated few, and we're really excited to have you here. I for one, am really excited to share the Easter Maine Skippers program with the broader fishing industry. Industry feedback was really instrumental in creating the Easter Maine Skippers program, and we're going to continue to seek industry feedback as we implement and improve this program. And we've actually got a couple of places later in the presentation where we're going to be looking for feedback. The vision for the Easter Maine Skippers program starts with some of these really deep overarching questions. And I wish I could say that we had the foresight to start with these questions, but we didn't. We started doing it, and along the way we realized that these were some of the questions that we were answering. I think it's something that probably everyone in this room is aware of, that both coastal communities and the fishing industry are really facing a time of rapid and unpredictable change. And so, we don't necessarily know what the future is going to bring, but we know that it's going to be something different than what we see today. And it seems like it's always something out of left field. And so we're really trying to think about how can communities in the fishing industry think about these times and be ready for rapid and unpredictable change. That goes for schools also. Anyone working in a school can tell you that we are also facing times of rapid and unpredictable change. People always ask me, well, how can you be a principal? I said, I walk into school every day and I have no idea what's going to happen every day. So there's a lot of change and it keeps you excited and on your toes. I am going to say something that I don't know if every educator in the state would agree with, but I feel like when we think about coastal communities and coastal schools, I would say that schools have not always met the needs of the communities that they're serving. I think that they've certainly made a good effort, and it's not for lack of either trying or bad intentions. It's just that what happens in the school during the school day has not always been a good match for what the majority of some of the students in that coastal community are doing in the rest of their day and the rest of their lives. So the Skippers program is one effort to more closely align formal K-12 education with the fishing communities that these schools are serving. So our vision for the Easter Maine Skippers program is to bring together a cohort of future fishermen from North Haven to Eastport. That geographical stretch coincides with lobster management zones A through C, and that kind of, as we started this program, we felt that matched our capacity. It's not to say that other parts of the state further south aren't important or wouldn't benefit from this, but when we started this, we weren't even sure if it would work, so we thought we might want to limit our scope a little bit. Within this lobster management zone A through C, there's 13 potential high school partners, and we've got 7 of them on board, and I'll tell you who those are a little later. And really what we're looking for is to have a program that is for aspiring fishermen or other folks who might be attracted to this type of learning, that would graduate students who are fully prepared as fishermen and as citizens to enter 21st century fisheries. So in schools, this is another thing that maybe not every educator in the room will agree with, but in schools, we are very good at resisting change. Schools are some of the least change-ready organizations there are, and a lot of those practices reflect ideas that came out of the 1800s, and last time I checked, we are well past that. So we knew that there would be several obstacles to creating this program, okay? The Our goal was a regionalized program that was drawing in students from multiple high schools. We were really concerned that if students had to move to a different school and enroll in a different school, that would not be acceptable. Most of these schools are so small that we can't afford to lose three students to another school. We also knew that if money had to move from one school to the other, the superintendents would quickly say that this is not going to work. And so we've decided that those are two things that we don't even want to touch. Students stay in their schools, money stays in their schools. And then we also knew if we had to get 13 high schools to coordinate calendars and schedules, you guys in the fishing industry think you have problems with coordination and management? Getting 13 schools to agree on anything like a school schedule would be practically impossible. So we've taken all this off the table. What we've done is we've tried to create a program that has some core principles that everyone would be doing, but that there would be a lot of flexibility so that each school and each community could put it in place in their local context in a way that makes sense to them. So like I said, this program, the Eastern Maine Skippers program, has really relied heavily on input from community and industry partners from the very start. We've gotten feedback from fishermen in several harbors, primarily about a year ago this time. The only one that I was able to attend was the one in Stonington last January, January of 2013. And we had 15 fishermen show up late at night in January to talk about education. And no one in the room could think of a time where that had ever happened before. And so we had excellent participation. We asked the fishermen some questions like, what did you learn in school that prepared you for a career as a fisherman? We also asked them what they wish they had learned in school that would prepare them for a career in the fishing industry. And finally, we asked, what do you think those who are entering the industry need to know in order to be successful? And these are some of the responses that we got both out of Stonington as well as out of the other harbors that are part of the program. As I was putting this slide together last night, I was thinking mostly about the government and talks about navigating the unknown. You know, fishermen told us that a lot of fellow fishermen don't know how to interact with government. And when we talk a little bit later about the Flounder Project, and you see the students going to Augusta and presenting in front of the advisory council, not only are they learning how to navigate amongst all the intricacies of regulations and government, but they're finding out that it's possible and it's not that hard. And I see a couple of members of the advisory council sitting in the room. There are a lot of jokes at the advisory council meeting. There's some laughter. It's a good time. I think our students left realizing that people who regulate the fisheries are actually human beings also. And that's a really important mindset for students to acquire. Some of our goals of the Eastern Maine Skippers program. We want to use marine-related issues to engage students in academic learning and learning how to learn. I've been lucky enough over the last couple of years to kind of give this presentation from the conference room at the Penobscot East Resource Center. And if you've never been there, it's in downtown Stonington and it is right on the water. The whole harbor is out in front of you. First time I gave it was in June after school had gotten out. And you know, I could see my students on the harbor. And they were working hard, and they were doing things that demonstrated that they were engaged, they were problem solving, they were thinking critically. All the things that we would love to see. And then many of those same students came back to school in September. And as soon as they walked in the front doors, all that went, right? And they were not working hard, all of them, and they were not necessarily thinking critically. And so it's not an issue of if the students can do this or not. Our students are very smart. They have all the skills. I think we as schools need to change what we're doing a little bit to draw out that active learning and draw out that engagement so that our students can really use the skills and the tools that they have to show what they know. And I think the impetus is on us as schools to change that a little. want to expose students to a wide range of known and emerging marine-related careers. You know, lobstering is an excellent option, especially down in the three zones that our participating schools are in right now. But it's always nice to have additional options. The more options you have, you know, the more likely that long-term you're going to be able to make a go of it. Whoever, I'm sure you guys have been talking about this for 3 days, but whoever can figure out how to make money off of green crabs, you know, that's the way to go. I'm hoping that that's our project next year, is how to make a dollar off of green crabs. We also want to develop future citizens and leaders who can advocate for themselves, for the fishing industry, and for their communities. And I think this is really important when we think about the Eastern Maine Skippers Program. You know, schools educate a lot of students. And when students leave high school, they do a lot of different things. And some of them go off to colleges and careers that take them out of their community. One of the really unique things about Coastal Maine is that we have a lot of students who stay put in our communities and through the fishing industry are able to raise a family and be part of that community for a long time. And so, you know, investing in these students is a direct investment in the future of our communities. My vision of the Eastern Maine Skippers Program involved, and I don't see the commissioner, so I'm not going to offend him, but I would love to see a future when the commissioner or someone shows up and does a presentation and they have those really fancy graphs of all their data. I'd love to see a group of fishermen also stand up and say, you know, here's what we like about your graphs. We have a couple questions. And by the way, here's our graphs and our data. And let's have a conversation, you know, and have everyone have a seat at the table and have the confidence and the skills to be able to have rational conversations about the management of fisheries that are so important to our communities. The commissioner has great graphs, by the way. I'm not knocking his graphs. They're better than mine. I'm a graph aficionado. We would also like to provide students a diploma which prepares them for any post-secondary option. You know, a lot of students in these communities have very clear career aspirations to go into the fishing industry. Our students that are graduating this year in 2014, if they have a 50-year working career, which will put them at 68 when they retire, which since Social Security won't be around by then anyway, right? They'll have to keep working that late. They're going to retire in 2064. How many of us, when we were 18, could picture 50 years into the future and know exactly what we were going to do? I think we also, those of us who are in schools, know that we have a lot of students who are really torn about what they want to do after high school. They come from fishing families, they want to have a fishing career. They're also interested in exploring things in college, or exploring other career options. And I think we want to make sure that students know that when they graduate, they're ready for both. You know, when we sat down and talked with fishermen about what students need, or what people entering the fishery need as skills, they talked about, well, we really like someone to have public speaking skills. We would like someone to be able to state their point of view and back it up with facts. We would like someone who could, going back to those graphs and charts, look at data, look at numbers, and be able to make sense of it. You know? And when we talk with college admissions officers, they say the same things. That's what they're looking for in students who apply to college. So I think the great news about this is that we're no longer, as educators, talking about do we prepare students for college or do we prepare them for career? Because the skills that they need to be successful in both are generally the same, we can prepare them for both. We also want to make sure that the Eastern Maine Skippers Program is not a vocational track that avoids rigorous academic work and limits future options for students. I don't think it's appropriate anymore as schools to say, well, so-and-so is going fishing, they don't need advanced math. There's someone in the room, I believe, who would say that if you're going into fishing, you can't have enough math. And I think that we as schools need to step up to the plate and deliver that. We also want to help sustain the local fishing economy and way of life in the face of economic, ecological, and technological changes. this gets back to that rapid pace of change. The communities in Downey's Main are special communities. The fishing industry is a major factor in what makes them special. And so maintaining the fishing industry and graduating students who can participate in the fishing industry and in their communities in general is really important. At the same time, we want communities in the fishing industry to be forward-looking, and not graduate students who are ready for the fishing industry of 1980, but who are going to be ready for the fishing industry of 2040, because they're going to be working in that industry if they continue. The timeline for the Skipper's Program, this conversation started a little bit over 2 years ago, and it's really hard to believe in the course of 2 years that we've gotten as far as we have, as fast as we have. Tom Dime, who's on the panel, has a penchant for throwing out wild and crazy ideas that will never work, and the Skipper's Program is one of those, and here we are. We're standing in front of you, and it works. It's one of those ideas that's just crazy enough to happen. And so we've been working, we worked from January to September of 2012 to, first of all, figure out what the vision of the program was and how to make it happen. We reached out to as many schools as we could. We've reached out to all 13 schools in our target area, and we've sought industry input wherever we could. From November of 2012 to August of 2013, we did some program planning with community partners and educators. And I'll talk more about that in a second, but it's really important to note that it has not been teachers going off by themselves and figuring out how to do this. We've had community partners, industry feedback every step of the way, and that's what's made the program successful. And then in the fall of 2013, the Skipper's Program launched with students. And that was an awfully exciting event for those of us who have been part of that. So the core curriculum for this school year, we envision some traditional units, or classroom, kind of classroom instruction and seamanship and safety, business planning, entrepreneurship, and personal finance. We've also talked about providing what are called, and this is probably the only piece of educational jargon you're going to get in the presentation, extended learning opportunities. Things like internships, going to zone meetings, going out fishing in a fishery that you haven't been in before. So if you're a lobster fisherman and you go out and do some of the ground fishing as part of the Sentinel fishery, or you go scalloping, that would be what we refer to as an extended learning opportunity. Haven't made as much progress on that part as we would like to, but where we have made a lot of progress, as evidenced by the funny-shaped traps in front of you, is a course-long project based around winter flounder. So as of this moment, and this changes pretty much every day, we have 43 students involved in the Eastern Maine Skippers Program from 7 schools. And I really want to underline that fact. The presentation is a little Stonington heavy, and that just happens because we were the ones who decided to fill out the form to present here today. But having those 7 schools, Lionel Haven, North Haven, George Stevens, Ellsworth, Mount Desert Island, and Narragansett, having the teachers from those schools and their energy and their excitement, and then now that we have students involved with even more energy and excitement, which is great, that's really made the program better. Tom has a lot of great ideas, but he could not have pulled this off on his own. Involving community partners, involving other schools, is really what makes the program successful. And the fact that it is spread across Downey's Main is really an important factor in this program.
Cool.
As I said, our community partners are also critical. Penobscot East Resource Center has been the lead community partner, has been involved in the discussions from the beginning. The Maine Department of Marine Resources, especially Kevin Russo, who is here somewhere. Kevin has been our best friend in this process. He's probably tired of us calling him. The partnership with the DMR has really made this happen. The Island Institute, Ian Watkins up here in the front is an Island Fellow from the Island Institute, and the majority of his fellowship is working with the Skippers Program, primarily to develop the online content that we use to deliver the curriculum. So instead of trying to get all the students together at one time and get all the students online at the same time, Ian is creating units in iTunes U that students can access at their schools when it's appropriate at their school. Maine Maritime Academy has supported the program and hosted a day-long event there where students learned about winter flounder. And then the most important community partner has been the local fishermen from the participating communities who have really embraced the program and have given us feedback and insight to help us, you know, kind of steer the program in a direction that is useful for the industry. You guys probably have had more than one project where someone had a great idea for the fishing industry that maybe wasn't really all that helpful. So we really don't want that to happen. We'd like to create a program that truly benefits the fishing industry, and the feedback from the fishermen has been really important in making that happen. So I'm gonna turn it over to Carla in a second, but I didn't know if anyone had any questions on the goals of the program, the vision, or kind of the timeline on how it gets started. We're gonna talk more about flounder traps coming up, so.
What's been your biggest surprise so far? Like from what you thought it was gonna be and what it is today?
You know, I would have to say that the biggest surprise has been that it's exceeded expectations. Everything that we had hoped to accomplish, we are accomplishing. And just to see, I've been standing by the booth that had the traps for the last couple of hours, just to see the interest from the people passing by and asking questions, and then stopping by the shop at school and watching kids building traps until 7 o'clock at night. I think it shows that if you engage students in things that they're interested in, not necessarily things that we as 40-year-old educators are interested in. They can get really excited about it, and they can learn a lot. So that was our theory going in, and so I guess the biggest surprise is that we were right. Any other questions? I'll turn it over to Carla.
I just wanted to be sure that I also recognize the students from Mount Desert Island and High School and Ellsworth High School that are sitting in the front row. So we will get to hear from some of the participating kids in discussion later in the session. Be ready to talk.